During World War II, there was a seaman who was unable to return from leave on time. He wrote the following letter of explanation to the executive officer on his ship. "Sir, I received 10 days leave to visit my brother who lives in the state of Arkansas. He lives there on a farm. On September 8th, my brother's barn burned down, all except the brick silo, the top of which was damaged by a bolt of lightning, which had started the fire. On September 10th, my brother decided to repair the silo. To help him, I rigged a barrel hoist to the top of the silo so the bricks could be hoisted to a platform we had erected on top. After the work was done, there were a lot of bricks left over. I filled the barrel, then climbed down the ladder and untied the line to let the barrel down. However, the barrel was heavier than I was. As the barrel started to come down rather quickly, I started up. By the time I thought to let go, I was so far up I thought it was just safer to hang on. About halfway up, the barrel hit me on the shoulder real hard. But I hung on as my division officer had taught me to do when holding a line. I was going pretty fast, and at the top, I also banged my head real hard. When the barrel hit the ground, the rusty bottom of the bucket fell out, spilling the bricks. I was then heavier than the barrel, so I started back down at a rapid pace. As the barrel passed me, it hit me hard on the other shoulder. I must have also landed pretty hard on that pile of bricks because I lost my presence of mind and let go of the line, upon which the barrel came down fast and hit me hard on the head. The doctor wouldn't let me start back to work until September 13th, which made me 2 days over my leave time, which I hope is okay under the circumstances." Only in Arkansas. I've lived there. Have you ever had a bad day like this seaman had? We all have bad days. And life being what it is, there's a good chance there are more bad days yet to come. There are days when life goes from bad to worse. Things start out bad, and then from there, they just go downhill. If we don't figure out how to deal with such bad days, we may be in trouble. The book of Job tells us what to do when life goes from bad to worse. Let's take a closer look at Job's very bad day. Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. "One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. 'Your oxen were plowing, with the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. 'Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. 'Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you.'" So, as Job's very bad day ensued, what all did he lose? Well, Job lost all his possessions, all his property, animals, and servants. This is kind of like the equivalent of losing your house, with all of its contents being burned to ashes, and losing your business, the sole source of family income, while going bankrupt the same day. On Monday, Job was wealthy and self-sufficient, but by Tuesday, he had nothing, literally. There's more. Job lost all his children. Tornado-like winds swept across the plain, and in one fell swoop, the house in which all his children were celebrating collapsed, killing them all. Some of you have lost children through death. Others of you have lost children through rebellion. They're still alive, but you do not have anger-free fellowship with them. Many of you can identify with Job's loss. There's more. Shortly thereafter, Job lost his health. He was stricken with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job could not stand without standing on a boil. Job could not sit without sitting on a boil. He could not lie down without lying on a boil. Now, up to this point in my life, I've been very blessed with very good health. But some of you can identify with Job's loss of health. Heart attacks, cancer, high blood pressure, and various other diseases have caused your health to deteriorate. Your strength and your vigor have waned. In some cases, your optimism has also waned. What else did Job lose? Job lost his wife's support. "Are you still holding on to your anger?" she said. "Curse God and die." Instead of encouraging her sick husband, Job's wife removed her support. You know, when I am hurting or upset, do you know the person that I lean on more than any other? My wife. Losing your spouse's support is no small thing. There's still more. Job lost his reputation. Job's standing among his friends and community was that of a great man, an honest man, a God-fearing man. But when people heard about Job's calamities, they automatically assumed he was hiding some sort of sin. Have you ever been slandered? It is awful. It's awful. And sadly enough, within many churches, we have refined character assassination to an art. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why is it that we who have received the grace of God are so slow to extend this grace to others? Why do we do that? Why do we so frequently assume the worst about one another? When someone loses the reputation that they have worked so hard to build, that person suffers great pain. There's more. Job lost his friends' support. When Job's friends came to grieve with him, when they first saw him, they tore their robes and they wept. Initially, they just sat with him and remained quiet. So far, so good. Sometimes, the best ministry that we can do in the life of a damaged friend is what I call the ministry of presence. That's P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence. You don't need to say anything, because in some cases, there's simply nothing that you can say that will make things better. So, you just be there with them. Just be with them. That's what Job's friends did at first. They appeared to be supportive, but then they opened their mouths. As soon as they began to speak, their hostility became evident. In their hearts, they were actually antagonists, not friends. Look, if you've ever lost a friend, if someone you've once loved as a dear friend walked away from you, or worse yet, slandered you, then walked away, you can identify with Job. In addition to all his other losses, Job also lost his friends. Life for Job was going from bad to worse. So, what did Job do? After all of this, what did Job do? Job did five key things when his situation went from bad to worse. No matter how bad our circumstances can be, you and I can follow these same positive steps in our lives. So let's see what he did. The first thing is this: Job worshiped God and renewed his commitment to him. Job chapter 1, verse 20. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. Now, I mentioned last week that in Old Testament times, when someone tore their robe or shaved their head, it was a gesture of grief. So, in the midst of his grief, the first thing that Job did was fall to his knees and worship. You know, for many of us, when things go from bad to worse in our lives, we get mad. We just get angry. We get angry at other people. We get angry at circumstances. We get angry at God. We're angry. Sometimes our hurt focuses outward. That's when the blame game often happens. And sometimes our hurt focuses inward. That's when depression happens. Neither response is good. So, what would be better? It would be better if we followed the example of Job, who submitted to God and worshiped God. Hard to do when you're hurting. So hard to do, but infinitely better. A second thing. Job declared his faith in God. After all his tragic losses, Job declared that God was the giver of blessings, and that God also had the right to take away these blessings. Then Job gave praise to God. Job 1:21, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job understood. And we need to understand that God owes us nothing. Every good thing we have is a gift of God's grace. Are you breathing? It's a gift of the grace of God. Are you healthy enough to be here today? It is a gift of the grace of God. Do you have food to eat and a shelter over your head? It is a gift from God. and every other good thing in your life is the same. God gives us these gifts, not because we deserve these gifts, but simply because He loves us. Because Job understood the grace of God, he was able to declare his trust in God, even though his circumstances were both desperate and painful. There's something else. Number three, Job did not accuse God. Job 1:22. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. When Job's wife encouraged him to curse God and die, he rebuked her. "You are talking like a foolish woman." Now, husbands, I don't think you ought to pull this out just every day, but in this case, it was appropriate. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all of this, Job did not sin by accusing God of wrongdoing. In the midst of tragedy, one of the most common questions people ask is why? Why did God let this happen? Most of the time, I don't know the answer. I just don't know. Many times, no one knows the answer. But this I would say: whatever you do, don't blame God. Don't blame God. God is on your side. He loves you. God does not sit around all day thinking of ways to hurt you. That's not who God is. Let me say it again. God loves you. We may not understand why things happen as they do. Look, the same sun that scorches one flower gives life to another. Why does one flower die and another flower live? Only God knows. I don't know. But we must not accuse God of doing wrong. When we hold on to our anger, the turmoil in our lives is an accusation against God. Consider instead these questions. Whatever your hurt has been, whatever your hurt may be, do you want to be well? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be healed? If so, then please understand, we will never, ever gain spiritual victory in the midst of hostility toward God. When you're hurting, if there's one person you need, it's God. Number four, eventually, Job confessed that he didn't understand everything. As the story continues, Job eventually gets worn out. Can you blame him? It is then that Job begins to question God. Then, at the end of the story, at the end of the book of Job, God finally answers Job's challenges. Let's fast forward for a moment to the final chapter. God asked Job a series of questions to illustrate that he is God and Job is not. Here is Job's response in Job chapter 42, verse 3. Job said to God, "You asked, 'Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance?' It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about." things far too wonderful for me. Job admitted that he really had no idea what he was talking about. You ever do that? Basically, Job admitted that God could see what he could not see. Job admitted that God knew what he didn't know. Question: is it any different for us today? Is it not true that God sees what you do not see? And isn't it true that God knows what you don't know? We are so prone to making quick judgments based on our very finite understanding. Only God knows everything. This is a huge reason for you and I to trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Because he sees what we do not see. He knows what we do not know. Number five. Eventually, Job turned himself toward God in repentance. Job saw his unworthiness and he repented of it. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Look, repentance that's real shows itself. It's not just words you say, there's actions that go along with it. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart that results in a change of actions. When we repent of our sin before God, it opens the door for God to move in great power and to bless us with great blessings. Now notice that in the last two points, number four and number five, I began with the word eventually. It was a process for Job, and many times it will also be a process for us. Now, ideally, we don't want to extend that process any longer than necessary. But the deeper the hurt, the longer the process can sometimes take. Now, let's talk about life lessons from a suffering servant. Are there things we can learn and apply to our own lives right now from what we have seen in the life of Job? Indeed, there are. Here's at least one. Any religious experience that causes us to feel superior to others is hypocritical. We'll study this in more depth in a few weeks, but Job's three friends came to Job with a word from God. In effect, they said, "These calamities have come upon you because you are so wicked, Job." Oh boy, we better be careful with that one. They spoke from a presumed position of spiritual superiority, but the Bible reveals their true status. In Job chapter 42, verse 7, God said to one of these three friends, his name is Eliphaz, he said, "I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has." You know what I'm discovering? the closer I get to God, the more I realize just how far I have to go to be truly close to God. Said another way, the more like God I become, the more I realize how not like God I am. How many of you know it's true that in and of yourselves, in and of ourselves, we are not good? Do you know that to be true? We are saved by grace. And we serve Him by grace. We have hearts that are prone to disobedience. Only as the Spirit of God fills us and controls us are we able to be more like Christ. And even then, we still can't take any credit. Be careful about assuming a position of spiritual superiority as you look at someone who's struggling. Be careful. Number two, life lesson number two. God's purpose does not always result in human success. If you know the end of the story of Job, you might be tempted to say, hey, it all worked out. Job got his family back. Did he? He did not. God did give Job more children, but the children who died, died. Job still had to grieve the loss of every one of his sons and daughters. So, are there other examples in the Bible in which God's purpose does not always result in human success? The answer is yes, more than we have time for, but I'm going to mention two. First, Jeremiah. This Old Testament prophet was a failure by human standards. This tender-hearted man, known as the weeping prophet, was rejected by his family, his neighbors, his city, his nation, and his king. Ultimately, Jeremiah was taken into captivity, dying in Egypt, a land that was not his home. And yet, Jeremiah faithfully fulfilled God's purpose for his life. A second example, John the Baptist. He was another who had an inglorious death. His head was presented on a platter to a pagan king based on this king's lustful desires when a young girl performed a seductive dance in front of him. And yet, Jesus spoke these words about John the Baptist. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Human success was apparently not God's purpose for John the Baptist. So what about you and me? Is human success God's purpose for you and me? Only God knows. But this much we do know. Prosperity theology is not found in the book of Job. You know, the theology which says, look, just give your life to Jesus and you will be wealthy and healthy all the time. There is simply no such animal in the book of Job. Number three, life lesson number three. God does not condemn our doubts and questions. I'm so glad. At the end of the story, God once again commends Job, who asked a lot of questions. God also condemned Job's friends who thought they had all the answers. In the pit of despair, Job had some terrible doubts and questions. Listen to this in Job chapter 3. Job said, "Let the day of my birth be erased, and the night I was conceived. Let that day be turned to darkness. Let it be lost even to God on high, and let no light shine on it. Let the darkness and utter gloom claim that day for its own. Let a black cloud overshadow it, and let the darkness terrify it. Let that night be blotted off the calendar, never again to be counted among the days of the year, never again to appear among the months." How's that for depression, doubts, and questions? And yet, God did not condemn Job because of his questions. God can handle our honest doubts and questions. We need only to bring them to Him. One final lesson, number four. This is a toughie. You ready? There is victory in praying for those who have hurt us. After God expressed how angry he was with Job's friends, we see a profound life lesson. Here is what God told Job's messed up friends to do. "Take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has." Oh my goodness. These men had assaulted Job. They had thrown him under the bus. They had accused him of being evil. So, what did God tell these three loser friends to do? Go to Job and ask him to pray for you. Okay, so what happened then when Job prayed for the men who had hurt him so deeply? What happened? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. When things go from bad to worse, the final step to victory over bitterness is to pray for the person who is the source of your bitterness. What do you pray for those who've hurt you? Pray for God's blessings on their life. You know, when you're praying for God's blessings on someone's life, it's hard to hate them at the same moment. Pray that God would bless them and change them and save them. And while you're at it, also pray for yourself that by God's mighty arm, God might work in you and through you to grant forgiveness where it's not deserved. Parentheses. Is not that exactly what God has done for you? Give forgiveness. Grant forgiveness where it's not deserved. May I share with you from the voice of experience? At first, when you pray for God's blessings on those who've hurt you, you probably won't feel it. It's okay. It's okay. In fact, you may even feel a bit hypocritical. It's okay. Keep praying. In time, as you pray for God's best on those who've damaged you, God may even change your feelings. But please note, very important, you do not feel your way into a new level of obedience. You obey your way into a new level of feelings. You get the cart before the horse, it'll never work. Do what's right, whether your feelings agree or not. Eventually, God will deal with your feelings. Feelings almost never take you where God would have you go. So, if you want to win the victory over bitterness, follow the example of Job. With a forgiving heart, pray for those who've hurt you. Then see what God does. That's enough for today.